This is Cashing Out with your host, Dustin Sweetelson, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back at it on Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson coming to you, as always, from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Still to come on the program, Night Bites. We will look back on the Pro Football Futures Draft, some of the best picks and analysis, and the reaction following. That's coming up in Night Bites in about 15 minutes on the show. Bottom of the hour, we go to Colby Dant on college football and futures. And then in our final segment, we will hit three up, three down, previewing the card for Major League Baseball and the NFL preseason on Friday. And the preseason is where we start with our next guest. He is Arthur DeCesar, Las Vegas odds maker, over at Wager Talk right now. Find him on X at ArtDice21, and he joins us in his weekly spot here on Cashing Out. Art, thanks as always for the time today. Want to talk a little preseason because the line moves were crazy. In fact, they were so crazy that they didn't hit. If you bet on the closing number in week one of the NFL preseason, you did horrible. Line moves 0-8 against the spread when the flip of favorites, 23-51 against the spread since 2024, that courtesy of Big Al McMorty with the numbers. Dogs went 12-3 against the spread in week one. Road dogs 9-7. Unders were 12-4. And thus far on Thursday's action, we had the Raiders go over against Houston. They push at 2. And then we're wrapping up the Niners and Chargers. Final 4 minutes, 41-9. But we go over the total, and San Francisco is going to cover here as a dog.
Yeah, I think you hit it. I think everybody talked about, oh, my God, unders, unders, unders. But you hit something, too. The dogs were just as good as the unders last week, right? I mean, people forget how good the dogs were in week one. Obviously, we start off this week with two games. We have two games go over. So you're maybe going to start to see maybe a little, you know, because in week two, this is now maybe the dress rehearsal for a lot of teams. There aren't 4 weeks like there used to be where they used to do a dress rehearsal in week three. If you're going to do one, it's going to be this week. So maybe keeping an eye on overs this week could be something.
Yeah, you know, that is an interesting note. So two overs on Thursday, and maybe the NFL does it for you guys, but the Thursday slate and then a Friday slate and then the weekend, it's almost like they're setting up for the book to react and say, hold on, we had unders last week. Now we're having, like, how do you guys behind the counter view this where the trend starts to go one way, it comes back the other way? Do you say, well, if last week was all this and the first two are all this with unders versus overs now, do you start to adjust and tinker some numbers for Friday and Saturday?
You always have to, and you're always going to adjust, especially in the preseason with the lines moving and especially totals the way they move. You're going to adjust from week one to week two. And then now when you see the week two, now you'll see, listen, you're always going to lean on your sharps and what they're taking and want to, you know, massage your numbers to that and book to those numbers. But then if the public now starts coming in and say, oh, wait, now we're on over. So there's kind of like just a cat and mouse game. You have to play with it. But I think, like I said, all the, you know, starters playing a little bit more, a lot of unders in week one, it really might trend towards the over this week.
Arthur DeCesar is our guest bookmaker, Wager Talk at ArtDice21. You can find him over on X. Anything jump out to you for either Friday or the weekend card of action that you're like, I love it, I like it, I'm thinking about it even?
Yeah, there's a couple of things that jump out to me. I believe the Jets play tomorrow, and there has been a move to the under on that, and I do like that side. It was like, you got to remember, too, these totals are basically going to be between 36 and like 41. They're really not going to be much of a deviation between those 4 or 5 points. So I think the Jets open at like 39. It's like 37 and a half now. I still do like that under. Might even trend a little bit lower. Man, the Browns took money. They were 1.5. They're now 3. They were abysmal in week one. I could see why there's some Brown money. It feels like the Browns need to get on like a winning track here and just feel good about themselves in the building. This was an interesting one. Carolina looked so bad in week one, and Jacksonville didn't look great, and Jacksonville was a favorite, and now it's flipped to Carolina being a favorite, even though Carolina's got a lot of offensive line issues. So that's one kind of to keep your eye on. And I do agree with the Colts move from 2.5 to 3.5. Atlanta was not great in the first preseason week.
I love that. I love it. He's all over the preseason. How about NFL futures? Was there one win total that when you looked at the board, you said, hold on, I want this, whether it's over or under? What was that first win total that jumped out to you this year?
You know, I think the first one that really did jump out at me was, I'm going to go to my division, and I know a lot of people are on the Giants, but I think Washington, they have a lot of, talk about a team who's got offensive line issues. I think they're the worst team in the NFC East, and I think that 7.5 makes sense, and I think they're a 7-10 win team, 7-10 as a record at best. I think the Giants, obviously, with their coaching and some of their young players will take a step up. Obviously, Dallas and Philly are above them. I just don't love even the weapons that Jaden Daniels has. Even though I do like Jaden Daniels, I just feel like this is a last place team and they're going to win 6 or 7 games.
Yeah, you know what? I was originally bullish on Washington this year, but the more I hear how they want to run that offense and kind of almost treat Jaden Daniels like he's RG3, right? RG3 bursts on the scene with his legs. Now they're saying, hold on, we don't want him to run too much because he's going to get hurt. Guys, part of the biggest element that made him so dangerous was the dual threat ability of Jaden Daniels. No, now, as far as that division is concerned, Arthur, the Eagles are the betting favorite to win it once again. I think we're kind of underrating the Eagles, but the Cowboys are very trendy. Do you believe the Cowboys plus 205, the Eagles plus 120? You think the Cowboys can potentially win the East?
Every year they're overhyped, and we know this. And this isn't me being a Giants fan and saying that because I hate the Cowboys. But I think this is the year maybe they're not overhyped. The defense looks better. I like what they did in the draft. We know how explosive the offense is going to be. And I think at some point maybe there will be a little drop-off with Philly. You know, I just think at some point maybe they come back to earth here. And, you know, I think you'll have a chance, especially if you just look value-wise in that division. Cowboys at 2-1, even a little bit over 2-1 if you just shop around. I don't mind taking a shot with Dallas to win that division.
Yeah, I get the idea in theory, and the defense should be improved. I just, man, I think that there's a disrespect. When I look at the Super Bowl odds, there's two teams that jump out to me. And what's crazy is, like, last year, Art, I was so anti-Jalen Hurts because the inaccuracies, the issues with A.J. Brown. And I really wasn't a Bo Nix guy until I saw what Denver looked like when he got hurt last season. I think the number for Philly to win the title at 16-1, I think Denver at 20-1, and I'll even throw in the Chiefs at 16-1. Those three numbers just feel kind of crazy based on track record.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And I mean, if you look at it too, you probably more want to trend towards the NFC because the NFC is probably easier.
Yeah.
I mean, so if you do like Philly, obviously if they win their division, maybe they get a bye. Who knows what it could be, but you know, you could be sitting there and they're instantly in the NFC championship game. But yeah, I see it with Denver. And listen, I was with you. I was not a believer in Denver all year. I feel like every show I went on week after week was, this is the week Denver's going to fall. This is the week Denver's going to fall. You got to give Denver their kudos. I mean, obviously Peyton's a Hall of Fame coach. Bo Nix is an up-and-coming player, and their defense and home field is top-notch.
Absolutely. Now, you were behind the counter the last few years where the Bengals are always the hype team in the preseason, and some years I was in, some years I avoided it. This year I'm all in, and it's one of those spots, Art, where I don't even care that they're trendy. I don't care that everyone else is on the bandwagon. The upside is just worth the look. They're 20-1 to win it all. Joe Burrow's around 9.5-1, 9-1 to win MVP. Are you buying the Bengals as someone people should be thinking about this year?
Pretty good price, too, on their division if you don't fully believe in the Ravens. But since Joe Burrow entered the league, I feel like every year I was behind the counter as an odds maker, as a risk manager. We would have major liability on everything Bengals, whether that was them to win the Super Bowl, win their division, Joe Burrow to win the MVP. Every year, people love Joe Burrow. When they made that Super Bowl run, it's carried over even with all the injuries and just, you know, disarray they've had over these last couple of years. But yeah, I can buy it. I mean, I need that defense to obviously improve and I need the offensive line to keep him upright. But I'm not sold. Like, I look at that Raven number for them to win the division, minus money or even money, that seems way too crazy for me.
Yeah, I mean, they have a new head coach. If I told you to choose one of these, as we chat with Arthur DeCesar, Las Vegas odds maker at ArtDice21, we have two new head coaches joining organizations that are Super Bowl or bust. It's the Bills 10-1 with Joe Brady coming in. It's the Ravens with Jesse Minter at 10-1. If you had to choose between them, which one do you like better?
I would lean the Bills because I like Josh Allen and I like Cook. And I just like the Bills. I think it's close, but I would lean Bills there.
Arthur DeCesar with us here. And the NFC North, Art. We had a Pro Football Futures draft earlier today. And I'm not normally a Green Bay guy, but nobody wanted part of Green Bay to win the division or over on their win total. The Lions are the favorite to win the NFC North. I understand why. I get the schedule talk and all of that. But the Bears were awesome a year ago. The Vikings added Kyler Murray. How do you ultimately think the NFC North shakes out?
I think if I were to do like how you can go on all these sites and do an exact order, I would go Lions, Packers, Bears, Vikings. That would be my exact order as I look at it now. I just think because the Bears are going to take a step back and all the positive numbers they had last year with close one-score game wins and all the turnovers and everything. And I think Green Bay's probably being a little bit undervalued because everyone's now talking Lions and Bears. So that would be how I would go. I think Green Bay's second in that division.
So you go Lions, Packers, Bears, Vikings. That's what you said?
That's what I would go, yep.
That exact order pays 10-1. That is the favorite. It's 10-1, but...
I don't hate it.
That's a juicy number. Art, awesome as always, man. When we talk next week, you know what we'll be talking about? Week zero college football games. Oh, baby. Let's finally go, here.
Buddy.
We made it. He's Arthur DeCesar. Check him out on X at ArtDice21 over at Wager Talk as well. And in this spot every week on Cashing Out. Appreciate the time as always. We'll chat next week.
Dustin, you're the best. We'll talk next week.
Awesome stuff from Art. And speaking of week zero, it's going to be here before you know it. If you haven't done your prep or you're behind on certain leagues, don't worry. We got you covered. The VSiN College Football Betting Guide is out. Become a VSiN Pro. You'll get that plus the NFL Betting Guide as well. That is team previews, power ratings, betting systems, and best bets from everyone here at VSiN. Plus, you'll get everything we do at the website, which is more bets from every show. Real-time betting splits, prop tools, and 24/7 video. Start today for just $9.99 or save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. When we return, we look back on the Pro Football Futures Draft on Cashing Out.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Keep your head on a swivel, baby. Football's back. It's Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. It's VSiN, the sports betting network. Two preseason football games are in the books. In case you missed it, the first one was dramatic. The Raiders coming back to win 22-20 against the Houston Texans. Aiden O'Connell, the hero, with a deep pass to set up a tush push and a run in. And the Raiders pick up the win. Here's the heartbreak, though. If you laid two, you pushed, and you should have won because the kicker for the Raiders missed not one, but two PATs. So Kansai Matsuzawa, the kid from Hawaii a season ago, 1-for-3 on extra points. He makes one of those. You cash. And the game goes over 40.5 on the tush push with around, what did I say it was, 38 seconds to go, something like that. Let me get the exact timing of that one. Fourth quarter, it was, this says a minute 23. That doesn't seem right. Let me open this up. 39 seconds. See, brain, look, the brain's not good, but at times it shows what it's capable of being here. And in that moment, 39 seconds, 38 seconds, what's 1 second between friends? Either way, game goes over the total of 40.5. And moments ago, wrapping up in Los Angeles, the Niners beat the Chargers 41-17. I had the Chargers plus 1.5. That was not fun. I also had the Raiders money line, so we walk away, a 50-50 day. One note on the Raiders game, Aiden O'Connell was the hero. Mendoza did play a chunk. He had an interception, and I think that's the growing pains you're going to see out of him this year. He just waited too long, and you could see his feet dancing, waiting for that opportunity for a throw to appear, not realizing at the NFL, you have to throw guys open. And he was waiting, and he waited too long. A linebacker came, intercepted the football, and ran it back a bunch. So that was the issue for Mendoza, and I think once he gets his timing down, he'll play. I still don't see that soft spot in the schedule where he takes over for the Raiders, because even if he takes over against the Jets, one, I don't think that's a cupcake anymore. It's on the road in November. Two, there's another gauntlet of like four straight games against elite caliber teams following that. But Raiders get the win 22-20. Mike Washington, another big run for 33 yards. He went 9-for-56. we may have closer to a timeshare in that backfield with Genty than you think. It's still probably 70-30, but have the Raiders maybe found their Sonic and Knuckles, or at least their version of it? Niners beat the Chargers 41-17. Niners cover plus the 1.5. We do go over 38.5 because the Niners had 41 in their own right. Mac Jones played. Adrian Martinez played, although he was not very good. And Brock Purdy played a little bit as well. That's really all that we can bring you from that game. It was an absolute bloodbath. With that, let's look back on the day that was here on VSiN with a little thing we do called Night Bites.
At 4th-and-1 at midfield, you're up 11. The Raiders really can't do anything.
But they're one of the best teams in baseball.
Night Bites.
Today, the Pro Football Futures Draft went down. Fun was had by all. I doubled up on my blood pressure medication knowing that everyone would frustrate me during this process, but we did it. It was fun. I thought everyone was a good sport about all of the challenges, all the competitiveness, a little bit of smack talk mixed in. And the reigning champion was Patrick Maher, who you can catch on VSiN Live on Mad Dog Sports Radio weeknights at, let me do the 8 p.m. Eastern time. Time zones. That was the start of the show. This is a callback in case you missed it. Download the program wherever you get your podcast. ADHD's off the charts right now. Anyway, reigning champion Patrick Maher. He had a couple plays a year ago that helped him win the belt with the Houston Texans, and he went back to the Houston Texans with his first pick this year in the Pro Football Futures Draft.
We're going to go back to the Texans. I'd like to alt this and go up, but it's 9.5 at DraftKings. I'll lay the juice 146. Couldn't run the ball last year, still 12 wins after a terrible start. I think that number is a little adjusted low because of the yippy performance from Stroud in the playoffs, but I'll go over the 9.5, Dustin, Houston, to get us started.
Yeah, I'm with him. I love Houston. I'm starting to think C.J. Stroud might actually get back to his rookie level. And even if he's just mediocre, this team with that defense, the additions they made, the physicality, there isn't a weak spot. And they're too deep at several spots. They're going to knock people around. And here's the biggest compliment I can pay to a team or a head coach. When you play the Houston Texans, you play the game on their terms. They never have to play it on your terms because their defense controls it. It's a low-scoring affair. And when it comes to the fourth quarter, you better make plays, because that defense is going to make it very, very hard for you to finish drives and score touchdowns. That was the first clip from the Pro Football Futures Draft. You want to see the write-up, go to VSiN.com, recap of everyone else's picks. And I thought Patrick had a couple sneaky plays, if I could just go through his team. The two were, they weren't on my radar. And then the second he broke them down, I went, ooh, those are good. One, he went Jahmyr Gibbs over 4.5 receiving touchdowns. He got like plus 150 on that in an ROI contest. That is crucial. But also, Gibbs is going to be a three-down back essentially for the Lions. He's an elite pass catcher. Issues with the O-line, they may need to use him as a receiver more. And then Josh Allen, most rushing touchdowns, 10-1. I think a lot of people were thinking running back for that market. Allen was right on the edge of winning it a year ago. I love that play from Patrick at 10-1. Next clip up in Night Bites, Keyshawn Johnson was hanging out with us. I got to tell you, he was cool as hell. That guy rules. I loved Keyshawn. You kind of figured that just watching him on TV for such a long time in our lives, but he was a fun sport. He was into this. And with one of his first picks, he took Courtland Sutton over 750.5 receiving yards.
When you look at the Denver Broncos, I'm looking at the receiving core in Courtland Sutton. 750 yards is what he's placed at. I got him over that. And the reason I'm taking him over that is because I know Sean Payton, and I know what he wants to do. He wants to get the football to the big guy. So what do they go out and do? They go out and get Jaylen Waddle, a guy who could stretch the field to have Courtland Sutton come underneath and run after catches important in the West Coast offense. I'm going to grab Courtland Sutton here.
I love Courtland Sutton. Waddle's element, I think, actually opens up opportunities for Sutton, because Sutton's a guy you feed over and over again, almost like an extension of the run game with his big body, able just to take like 7-8 catches a game if you need him to. And then Waddle stretches the field. Waddle, with the attention he brings long, opens up things underneath for Sutton. I love the balance that that brings to the Broncos offense. So I love that call from Keyshawn with his first pick. Another call from Keyshawn I loved, Bears to win the North at plus 305. I don't care that the schedule's hard. I care that Ben Johnson's there and Caleb Williams is there. And if the defense stinks, you know what? Those are the two people I want in a shootout. Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. It's kind of like the Wild West. You got Doc Holliday, you got Billy the Kid. That's what we're looking at with the Chicago Bears offense this year. The next clip we're going to play, looking back on the Pro Football Futures draft, Nick Bakay in the mix, legend in the betting space, also breaking down sports. It's written for NFL.com, ESPN as well. And on top of that, his IMDb page is ridiculous. Has appeared in Seinfeld, Coach, Maury Brown, was producer on shows like King of Queens for 143-something episodes. Also has a new show, Leanne, out on Netflix that he's producing. He co-wrote Paul Blart, Mall Cop. And I got to tell you, his first pick, he went for a big bomb here as he attacked Kyler Murray, passing yard leader, at a price of 40-1.
I feel like if you're going to park a lot of money for the entire season, you want some big odds coming at you. I have never been a big Kyler Murray fan. No one has. But I always say resentment creates opportunity if it's in the public's eye. We're going to go big here. I like what this coach did for Sam Darnold. Murray has put up big numbers. We're going to go Kyler Murray to lead the league in passing yards, plus 4,000.
Wow. Whew. You're going to need a lot of passing yards from Kyler Murray to get there, but I respect the move. I'll tell you this. You guys listen to the show. I take some crazy long shots. I love someone willing, like, early in this thing to make a statement and say, I'm going boom or bust. I don't care what we do here. Matthew Stafford led the league 4,700 yards a year ago. Career high for Kyler Murray in terms of passing yardage is 3,900. That came in his second year. Here's the wrinkle, though. Kyler Murray's never played for Kevin O'Connell in this system. He may have never had weapons as elite as he has right now. When you have Jefferson and Addison and Hockenson, you combine all of that, he might have a monster year. It's a long shot for a reason, but I love Nick dropping that one with his first pick. Some other picks that people had that really intrigued me. I thought Jonathan Von Tobel was very smart and prudent, and this is just staying calm among the chaos. But Joe Burrow in round four, I think he looked up and was like, Joe Burrow to lead the league in passing yards at 7.5-1 is still out there? Sure, give me that one, guys. I thought it was a great pick by him there to take Burrow at 7.5-1. Paulie Howard, all in on Trey McBride. Over 999.5 receiving yards. He also went Trey McBride, receptions leader at 8.5-1. That is a sneaky play from Paulie as well, because he is the number one option on a team that's going to be underdogs in pretty much every game, losing, throwing from behind. He is going to get fed the ball in the fourth quarter so much more than you'd normally get out of other players. And because he's a tight end, you're getting a juicy price at 8.5-1. When we return, we break down college football week 0, week 1, and futures. That's next on Cashing Out.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Cashing Out rolls on from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. I appreciate you hanging out with us. However you may be tuning in, SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. We have reached a point in talking season, in the off season, where it almost feels like everything that you hear where people are so overconfident about one thing, you have to start thinking about the opposite because you're just hearing too much of one side. And that's where we're going to begin with our next guest. He's Colby Dant. His podcast, The College Experience, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. At The Colby D, you can find him on X. And his previews of all the leagues, all the teams, they are tremendous. I use them to prep for the show. My friend, 1 week from today, we will be recapping an FCS game as week 0 is upon us. And the theme that I want to start with is fading everyone believing one side of one debate, and that is with the North Carolina Tar Heels. The win total for Chapel Bill is 4.5. Now, Billy Edwards is named the starter, and Billy Edwards hasn't played a lot of football the last couple years, but he was a big recruit at Maryland. Bobby Petrino replaces Freddie Kitchens at OC, and God, is that not the Bobby Petrino not the perfect fit for that organization with his track record off the field? But I'm kind of with you. I think we look at the over for North Carolina at 4.5. What do you say?
Yeah, you know, and I know there's a lot of explosives on the sidelines here that, you know, it's like LSU to a certain extent with like Kiffin's daughter dating the linebacker and having Orgeron on the sidelines and stuff. But this one might even be worse. But at the same time, like one thing I did think last year, I actually think the media kind of makes it worse. Carolina, I actually thought should have won two more games. They should have beat Cal. The guy fumbles going into the end zone. And the Virginia game, I thought they had no business losing that game. They just found a way to lose that game. So I actually think they should have been 6-6. I think that narrative would have been a little different. And I think the defense really came along. The Freddie Kitchens OC hire was a terrible mistake from the start. Bringing in Bobby Petrino, you know, I looked at the numbers in the FBS, you know, because he was at Missouri State in the FCS for a little bit. But his 5 of his last 6 seasons as an offensive coordinator in the FBS, his offense has been top 30. I believe he'll have a top 30 offense again. Yeah, I know, like, the portal's crazy, the amount of people coming in, but the guy knows offense. They'll be able to move the ball. I know the schedule's a lot harder. I took them to beat TCU on the money line back in June, and I got the worst of that number, but thankfully for, you know, TCU's fighting everybody in their locker room, so that's looking a little bit better. But I think the offense will move, and I also hear good things about the O'Neal kid if Edwards does get injured like he's gotten so many times in his career.
Yeah, 7.5 week one against TCU, that does feel a little bit crazy to me as well. But let's look at this North Carolina schedule. It is still an ACC program that has money and resources. They open Western Carolina and Wofford. You win those two games. Okay, that's two right there. We're almost halfway home and we're 2 weeks in. Wyoming's usually good, but that game's at home. North Carolina can win that. Marshall, with everything they've been through the last few years. Am I looking at the right schedule? What am I looking at
No,
here?
I don't think you are. I don't think
Wait,
you are.
Yeah, I don't think
right
I am.
Schedule.
What is that?
They get East Tennessee State
that's
from the
it.
FCS.
You know what? Yeah. As soon as I saw Monmouth, I went, what is going on here? That's a good question because I didn't see TCU, East Tennessee, Clemson, Notre Dame, Pitt, Duke is depleted. Syracuse had quarterback issues. UConn has Jason Candle. There's potentially 5 wins here.
Yeah, and Pitt can pit. You know what I mean? Like, although I like Pitt's team this year, they can. Narduzzi, what the year they won the ACC? They lost to Western Michigan in the opener, and that was not a PJ Fleck Western Michigan team. So. Yeah, I just think the defense, I think, you know, the narrative, I get it. It's a fun joke with, you know, whether it's the GM situation or whether it's his 25-year-old girlfriend. But I actually think the defense made big strides and the offense will this year. I just trust Bobby Petrino's offense will score points wherever he goes.
Absolutely. Colby Dant is our guest, Sports Gambling Podcast Network. College Experience is his show. At the Colby D, you can find him on X. Let's talk about fading teams that are depleted, because in the world of haves and have-nots, when coaches get new jobs, as Deion said, they take their Louis with them. They take their best players. That's the case of North Texas. The win total is 5.5. You think that 6 wins feels way too high for this group?
Yeah, I mean, I like the Neil Brown hire. I really do. Like, I think, okay, you know, this can probably work out down the road. But when you don't have any starters returning offensively or defensively, that's a red flag, even in this crazy time period where, you know, you with the portal. Another thing is just two different systems offensively and defensively they'll be running. And then on top of that, you add in the road schedule. The road schedule, first off, they open up at Indiana. So that's not going to be fun. Because if Cignetti actually, I saw him at Big Ten Media Days, and he actually said the game that bothered them the most was the opener against Old Dominion, and he's focused on not doing that this year. And I believe it. But getting that, then you got, you know, trips to Tulane, to Navy. I mean, every road game, I don't think they'll win one road game right there. But like on their entire schedule, I think they'll be heavy dogs in every road game. But then you look at the home schedule, you know, UNLV week 2. They got to go to Texas State week 3. There's just too much meat on the bone. I think Tulsa, I think, is going to be vastly improved. I think, if anything, Tulsa's definitely bowling, and I think they're a kind of a crazy play in an American conference where you don't really know what's going to happen. I did throw a little bit of money on Tulsa to win the AAC. But, yeah, I just think that they're going to be heavy dogs and everything. Like, the only games I had them favored in were like 2 to 3 games, UAB, Charlotte, and then the Houston Christian game.
Hey, let's stay in the American, because I think we're both on the same page here. Memphis with the hire that they made in Charles Huff, the players he brought in the portal. He's proven he can do it quickly at a couple different stops. Now, week one, they open with UNLV. They're on the road. Rebs are laying 5.5. You got 6. You took 6 with Memphis. Total's high, 56.5. But if I'm betting this one, I'll bet on those Tigers there. Talk to me about the play.
First off, I just love the Charles Huff hire. I think they've, like, you know, it's a bad thing, like, when your coach leaves and they rejoice. So good luck, Arkansas, with Silverfield. The fans rejoiced at that. And Huff, I think, is a really good coach. So, like, we were on him with the over in Southern Miss last year. That hit. And the talent and the amount of money they have separates them. The question is, how fast can they get used to both these schemes? But I love the Decker hire at OC. So I think they're going to be a player instantly. I think they are live to win that game against UNLV. I think I have UNLV actually winning the game, but I think there's way too many points. I would not be surprised if Memphis won the game outright.
Yeah.
So I am high on Memphis this year. I'm on the over wins on Memphis as well.
Yeah, I actually bet them to win the American at 6-1. I think that is a team that it could be spicy in a league that's wide open with South Florida losing everyone to Auburn, essentially. We are getting robbed of this game being played on foreign soil. I guess that's actually a good thing, but NC State and Virginia is going to be in Charlottesville. I like both teams' win totals, by the way, over. I think they're both 7.5. I bet NC State. I'd consider Virginia. But this game is kind of the issue of, like, figuring out, and I think NC State's live. You apparently do as well. They're catching 5.5 on the road.
Yeah, that's too many points for me. First off, Virginia last year having their best season ever wins, you know, in 1 year. They played so many close games. I know it's a revenge spot. NC State beat them a year ago with an interception in the end zone, but they lost a lot. Now, I know they're still old. They're incredibly old. They're one of the oldest teams in the nation. But bringing in Bo Pribula, I still have my questions. I think he is a super athletic quarterback for them, but I want to see how it works. And I think NC State is improved. I know they lost the receivers to the SEC schools. But C.J. Bailey back, I think the defense improved. Remember, their defensive coordinator had a terrible tragedy happen to him, and they bring in a new D.C. that I think that will instantly make the defense better, considering all what D.J. Elliott had to put up with a year ago. So I love the points here. I also I wouldn't be surprised they won it outright, but I just think it's too many points. To me, this is something I would have a lot closer to 1 or 2.
All right, last one here. North Dakota State, they move up to the big boys level. They are taking on Jacksonville State in week number one. They're 7-point favorites. 46.5 is the total. How do you want to play it?
Yeah, I'm laying it here. I think a lot of people I know are going in on Jacksonville State. I think North Dakota State fans have wanted this for like a decade. If anything, they were having fatigue by them beating up on so many teams in the FCS. So I think this place is going to be a party. Then you add in Tim Palasek, who I think has been in, I think he's got the program playing better than even Matt Entz had it going, who's now at Fresno. I just think you're on the train tracks right now. And Jacksonville State, I think, is Charles Kelly did a great job in year one, but they lose Cam Cook, the nation's leading rusher, to West Virginia, and a few other key pieces that were good on that team a year ago transfer up. So I think NDSU is going to it's just a bad spot. They're going to be celebrating all day. I'm laying the points.
All right, we can feel it, buddy. We are going to have, not this Saturday, next Saturday, toe meets leather, North Carolina TCU, San Jose State, USC, NC State, Virginia, as you just touched on, the Jacks, North Dakota State, Sac State, who I think you just dropped a preview on, and them joining the MAC, which is maybe the weirdest of all the conference realignment, and a whole lot more in week zero. We'll be all over it next Thursday. Pumped to do this every week with you. Good luck with all the bets, and we'll chat next Thursday.
Sounds good, brother, man. Take care. Thanks for having me.
All right, a little baseball, 3 up, 3 down, previewing the card for Friday when we return on Cashing Out.
Cashing Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Oh, baby, fun day here at the network. In case you missed it, the Pro Football Futures Draft. There's a great write-up at VSiN.com. It'll be available on the YouTube page, VSiN Live. To come here, you can go back and live through all of the picks as we did, 10 rounds? Is that right? Yeah. Five categories, two per category, 13 guys and one gal in the mix. Go back, download the shows wherever you get your podcast. That was during the Follow the Money show earlier today. You can go see all the picks. They're all written up at VSiN.com as well. We've had a fun show here today in our own right. I have been at Circa since about a little after noon. It has now been like 10, 11 hours. I'm ready for my bed, but we've had fun. And I do suggest going back and catching some conversations we had earlier in the show. Hour number one, Rob Havenstein, former Super Bowl champion with the Los Angeles Rams, was tremendous. I thought it was unique to hear his perspective as a guy who used to go up against, you know, Aaron Donald in practice and faced Myles Garrett in games. The way he kind of marveled at just how special they are. It's one thing for us to do it from the sidelines, but when a guy in the trenches who's won a Super Bowl protecting Matthew Stafford, when he's raving about those guys and what they bring to the table, man, you really have to wonder what needs to go wrong aside from injuries for the Rams not to win the Super Bowl this year. It feels like one of those favorites that makes so much sense. Rob was awesome in hour number one. All-pro linebacker Chad Brown, now an analyst for Compass Media. He joined in hour number two. We touched on a few different teams. Specifically, though, I thought his take on the Houston Texans was very strong there. Alex Selesnik made his debut in hour number two. Prop bets from him. You want to see the process. You want to understand how guys find these angles they're looking for. He shared three with us that I thought made a lot of sense. Arthur DeCesar earlier this hour behind the counter talking about preseason line moves. Colby Dant just now with some win totals and week zero bets in college football. Download the show, Spotify, Apple. Is Stitcher still a thing? Wherever you get your podcasts, you can find us here at VSiN. With that, we need to kick our attention to the card coming up for Friday, and we start with NFL preseason action as the Jets go to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. We open with Pittsburgh minus three. It's now Jets minus 1.5. I did just take in the break. I saw it one shot. Pittsburgh plus two. I'm going to take the Steelers. I like their quarterback options. Total in this one's 37.5. What do we know? Will Howard starting for Pittsburgh. Rudolph likely is not going to play. McCarthy said he wants to max out opportunities to see Will Howard, Andrew Aller. I just think that's a huge upgrade versus what's going to happen on the other side once Geno Smith is out of this game. I don't know why it's always assumed the starters playing a series or two as if they're going to score on both series. I think that is completely ridiculous. Geno Smith is starting. He's coming off an ankle injury earlier in practice, so who knows how long he goes. Cade Klubnik did lead two scoring drives against Tampa. And then Brady Cook, he will take over for the Jets as well. I just think the advantage is the other end, where you have a guy in Drew Aller from Penn State and Will Howard from Ohio State who have a ton of experience, and I just like them better than those other two guys in Klubnik and Brady Cook. So give me Pittsburgh plus the two. Aaron Glenn coming into the year just 1-2 against the spread in the preseason. Panthers are at the Jaguars. We opened Jacksonville minus 2.5. We have flipped to Carolina minus 1.5. Third game for the Panthers, remember. They played in the Hall of Fame game, so I don't really know how much of the starters we're going to see here. It's the second preseason game for Jacksonville. Haynes King is out. Carolina is likely playing Bryce Young, Kenny Pickett, and Kyle Trask. Liam Cohen told reporters Monday that starters will get a couple drives potentially. Nick Mullins, I saw a report he wasn't going to play. Now I'm seeing he may start if the starters don't play. He missed practice on Monday, so that one's a little bit up in the air. I think potentially you're seeing a lot of Carter Bradley and you're seeing a lot of Joey Aguilar, and the Jaguars have been dealing with offensive line issues during camp. Plus, they have a running back battle going on with a bunch of dudes that I think they're going to be very conservative, keeping it on the ground, trying to figure out who that RB3 and 4 are on the roster. I'm going to go under 37.5 between the Panthers and the Jaguars. And then finally on Friday, Green Bay is at Denver. Broncos are now laying 6. It opened 4.5, so a slight 1.5-point move there. Total from 38.5, and it's now at 40.5. Bo Nix expected to play 10 to 15 snaps. Then it'll be Jared Stidham and Sam Ellinger. Jordan Love and the starter is going to play a bit, according to Matt LaFleur. I expect a lot of Kyle McCord, not as much Tyrod Taylor, because they can't afford for him to get hurt this year. With that, I would actually lean taking the points with the Packers and Kyle McCord here, but I don't love the play. The advantage is Denver has the better quarterbacks, but I just feel like a lot of these teams that have so much pressure to meet expectations from a year ago, like Denver, to get back to being, you know, a team that plays for the AFC, I think they're going to be super conservative and not want to lose anyone to injury. So I lean the points in Green Bay, but it's probably that big of a spread. The biggest one of the day and of the week, I believe, as of right now. So I'm going to leave that one alone. But the other two, I do like Pittsburgh and the points, and I do like under 37.5 in Carolina and Jacksonville. Now let's tackle the baseball card with a little three up, three down here on cashing out. These are the pitchers who are pitching well coming into their matchups on Friday. Noah Cameron for the Royals. His last five starts, he's got a 1.19 ERA. 34 strikeouts, 37 and two-thirds innings, and a whip of .58. He shut out Detroit back on July 24th. Seven innings, two hits, and eight strikeouts. The power's there in terms of the strikeouts. He's taking on Troy Melton, who's minus 121 on the road. Give me the under 8.5, Detroit and Kansas City. I love that pitching matchup, and I don't love the Kansas City offense, even though that game's being played at home where the ball may be flying out right now. But I'm still going to go under because I like both pitchers here. Jacob Mizrowski, his last four starts has been amazing. He is the National League Cy Young favorite for a reason, and he will take on the Atlanta Braves on Friday at 4:10 p.m. Eastern time. This total is 6. I'm just realizing that. The total is 6. Is this a playoff game? Mizrowski faces Chris Sale, but Miz over his last four is a 2.63 ERA, 37 strikeouts, a .63 whip. Look, he's been awesome. He's susceptible. He will give up the long ball. He will get hit here and there. I think this number where Mizrowski's minus 149 and Chris Sale's plus 123, I'm going to isolate the first five, hope that Atlanta can jump them. And I'm going to take the Bravos, first five plus $1.18. And if this thing pushes, get my money back, live to fight another day. But I think Atlanta's live to maybe score a run off Mizrowski. He will have that one batter, that one inning, that one moment where he's not completely precise. And maybe these hitters for the Braves can make him pay. Next pitcher we're going to target here is the American League Cy Young favorite in Cam Schlittler. This is not a shocking story, but over his last five starts, he has been unreal. 2.17 ERA, 44 strikeouts in 29 innings, and a .86 whip for the New York Yankees right-hander. I don't know. Do I see odds on the board? I did not see on one book. Let's see another. No odds available for Schlittler coming up here for Friday. So that's one thing to monitor as the Yankees are hosting the Blue Jays and Toronto has yet to list a starter. So just worth noting, Schlittler, though, I would consider, you know, he came off a start against Toronto his last time out, 5 1/3, one earned, 7 strikeouts. Even though Toronto doesn't strike out a ton, I'd consider an over 6.5 if that's his strikeout prop, or I do something with his outs recorded because I do think he can get to, you know, 6 innings in this game if they mark it at 17.5 outs recorded once it's posted. That was 3 up. Now let's go to 3 down. We start with Colorado's Tanner Gordon, and he has not been good at home this season. Tanner Gordon has a 7.82 ERA at Coors Field, and he will be taking on the Guardians and Joey Cantillo, who's a minus 157 favorite. Gordon plus 130, 11 is the total. I would lean over 11 in Colorado and the Guardians, but I'm not going to actually bet that one. Connor Prelip takes the hill for the Minnesota Twins. And this is a guy that I like to fade traditionally, a left-hander, not dominant stuff. And for Connor Prelip, it all depends on the matchup. I think San Diego with some of the guys like Machado and Ty France and Tatis, they can make him pay. Randy Vasquez takes the hill on the other side. There's no odds currently posted, but I'd consider something with San Diego in terms of the team total if it's around 4.5, which I anticipate it being, or even a first five laying a half a run with the Friars and Randy Vasquez on the bump. I will note, though, I have been wrong about the Twins every single bet I've ever placed against them this season. And then finally, Hayden Wisniewski takes the hill for the Houston Astros. They're hosting the A's and JT Jin. This one right now in the betting market, Wisniewski a minus 194 favorite. The A's and Jin are plus 159, totals 8. Look, Jin's numbers away from home aren't bad. Wisniewski's been terrible. How can he be with a 5.16 ERA his last four starts, almost laying $2 on principle? You have to consider the A's plus 159 or even plus 1.5, minus 135. I understand their lineup is depleted, but Wisniewski is going to make guys look pretty bad or pretty good offensively because he just does not have great stuff. So that's where we stand with three up, three down. Some other plays I'm throwing up there. Give me the Giants and the Red Sox. The Giants. Yeah, the Giants and the Red Sox under 8, minus 120. That's Logan Webb and Sonny Gray. Also like the Cubs, minus 105 with Matt Boyd on the bump against Seattle. And Sean Burke over 5.5 Ks at minus 152. That'll do it for us here on Cashing Out, but stay with VSiN all day long as it gets started, 7 a.m. Eastern, with VSiN by the books. I'll see you next time. I'm Dustin Sweetelson.